Good morning. For today's message, we are going to experiment with a different type of tradition. I would like to introduce you to Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, in Western Christianity, is a traditional monastic practice of scriptural reading, meditation, and prayer, and it's intended to promote communion with God and to increase the knowledge of God's Word. In the view of one commentator, it does not treat Scripture as texts to be studied, but as the living Word. So this is similar to a guided meditation, but I'll read the Scripture and offer some context or some guidance as to what you should be thinking about during the reading, but not too detailed, because the idea is for you to experience what is in the Scripture for you. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. First, I'd like you to center yourself by breathing in and out. Relax your neck and breathe out again. And let your shoulders relax. I will first read the passage to you, and then I will say a few words about some of the key words and phrases. I'd like you to consider how these details affect your understanding of the story. And then I'll read the passage again slowly, and take that time to let the words fall on your ear. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Put yourself in the place of the disciples struggling at the oars in turbulent water and hearing the howling wind. What would they have seen or heard? What were they touching? Were their hands blistered and bloodied? How would their bodies have felt? And what internally were they feeling? Terror, weariness, despair, something else. Why do you think Jesus walked on water that night? Jesus was a compassionate person, and his miracles were very personal, yet public. He could have calmed the storm from the shore, but he came to where they were to help. Jesus was always near and wanted them to know this. This is much like Jesus' unexpected post-resurrection appearances when he showed up unexpectedly. As Leslie Weatherhead puts it, perhaps Jesus was making them feel that he is never far away. He does not seem to be there. Then he breaks in upon them, always knows what has happened, always takes charge of the situation until they never know when they may become aware of him. They must often have turned at the opening of the door expecting to see himself. They stopped midway in a sentence because they remembered that he could not be far away. They feel that he is never absent. Focusing on the character of Peter. We're often hard on Peter, but notice he's the only disciple who walked on water. Peter saw what his master was doing and wanted to join him. N.T. Wright asks, would you rather have a friend who did what seemed to be the right thing and then worried about it later? Or one who spent so much time thinking it all through that it would take weeks to get anything done? The address that he used, "You of little faith." Some people assume that Jesus' question, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" was a disparaging remark, perhaps even scolding. "You of little faith" is one Greek word, oligopistos, meaning little faith. It appears to be a word Jesus made up, a sort of nickname for his disciples when he wanted them to expand their thinking. Consider that each time he used it, he was challenging them to do something that most people don't do or something that was difficult to believe. For example, he was asking them not to worry about where tomorrow's meal would come from in Matthew 6. Not to be surprised that he could talk to the wind and make it calm in Matthew 8. Not to be surprised that a person could walk on water in Matthew 14. Not to be concerned when it's time to eat, but there's no food in Matthew 16. To remove a raging demon from a badly disabled boy's body in Matthew 17. In truth, all of us are oligopistos. Do you think Jesus was the kind of person who got exasperated when people are not full of superhuman faith? If Jesus was instead patient, kind, and not easily irritated with the disciples, yet still challenged them, what might have been the look on his face when he reached out to catch Peter? Do you think he was annoyed, rolling his eyes? Or disappointed that Peter had fallen? Concerned for Peter's welfare? Grinning to reassure Peter that he would not drown? Or something else? When we focus on Jesus as teacher, Jesus' movement was quick, immediately reaching out his hand to catch Peter. As Peter's teacher, Jesus responded to his apprentice who ventured out on dangerous waves with him. many teachers enjoy the antics of their most adventurous students. Perhaps Jesus was the kind of teacher who often gave his disciples a chance to experiment. He often rescued them when they didn't have the astonishing faith that they would later have. On this occasion, Jesus gave Peter an especially long leash, letting Peter imitate his own unbelievable behavior. After Peter's short success and failure, he wisely called out to Jesus, who was within arm's reach, as a good teacher would be. A good teacher often says, "Try something wild, and I'll catch you." And now we're going to reflect on the invitation. I will read the passage aloud again. And I want you to enter into the scene considering how the disciples would have felt and what they would have seen and heard. And hear the words clearly. Perhaps you will see yourself as Peter, or as a disciple who was horrified that Peter tried this, or as a disciple who envied Peter for trying. And as you picture the events of the passage, what moment or action or phrase is most real to you? And what does this cause you to think and feel? Why might that moment, word or phrase, have stood out to you? Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." How does this passage connect with your life? Is there some idea, feeling, or intention you need to embrace from it? And if so, what is it? What might God be inviting you to be, or know, understand, feel, or even do? Be open to the quiet and don't feel pressured to come up with an answer that you need to share. Now take a few minutes to respond to God about this. What do you most want to say to God about this experience in Scripture? You might want to ask God about failure and how God responds to failure, especially one of your failures. You might want to ask God to show you how he responded to Peter's bold action and subsequent failure. Soak in what has stood out to you in this passage and consider how Jesus' words and actions seemed to you in this passage. What does this tell you about what God is like? And spend a few more moments noticing the thoughts that have come to you. And immerse yourself in the response of the disciples. They worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And the final part of Lectio Divina is to try it on. Ask God for courage to venture out a little more and see what happens. What might the water be that you want to walk on by God's power? You know, as we all come to today's scripture reading from our various places in our life, with the different situations that we have going on, with all of the situations happening in the world, many of which we've reflected on over the past several months and many that we haven't even gotten to. We take from this message, this reading of the living Word of God, many different things. And one thing that a sermon usually does is gives you one point of view, one way to look at things. One thing to concentrate on. And with Lectio Divina, my hope is that we all were able to take something from today's scripture reading that means more to us in our lives right now than anything I could come up with personally for you. Thank you for letting me lead you through today's new for us, but something that's been around for hundreds, over 1,000 of years, Lectio Divina. Amen.